The Yum Podcast is brought to you by Emma, email marketing that works for you.
In a world where QR codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron, one podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Yum Podcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
I'm going to pretend to be a YouTube star. Ready?
Okay.
And the video starts. Wait. Ready?
It's a podcast, though. You know that, right?
Yeah. But okay. Ready? Every single YouTube video from a creator. Ready?
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Thanks for watching my video. This week, I'm going to do some tips about how to play this video game. Before I do, make sure you like, subscribe, hit the little bell. Right now, the alert bell, because that's the new thing. Make sure you comment, you like the video, and go see my other videos. I got some other videos that went really well. Good. So last week, we had some comments, so make sure you comment on this one, and one commenter will win a piece of my hair.
Is that supposed to be your, like, prepubescent version of your voice?
That's my YouTube. That's my YouTube
creator voice.
Yeah. So this week, is brought to you by Squarespace. Right? So there's like every single one of them is brought to you by Squarespace, or if it's MeUndies, or something like that, right? This is brought to you by Wix. So if you get into this, and make sure you go to their site and everything else, because I have no click-through on my video. Great. By the way, talking about segues, can I mention Emma?
That was really good.
Yeah. Thank you. That was a good segue. Emma, by the way.
I don't like the high-pitched fast-talking, though. It freaks me out a little bit.
So go to Emma, everybody.
I said it freaked me out.
Email marketing solutions for you. Again, not the right tagline, by the way. Not using the tagline they gave us at all. That's a great way to lose a sponsor. Make sure you check out MAHQ in all seriousness. Love it. If you got franchises, multi-locations, restaurants, post-secondary education, higher education, check them out. It's how you can be the control panel, the air traffic controller of your content, of your newsletter, putting it out there. You can control aspects of it. You can lock them down so all your different locations have to, you know, do it right.
Then it got deeper, but still fast.
Yeah. So thanks, everybody.
I hope
you enjoy the video. Here's the video of me doing this. And actually, the intro is 4 minutes and the video itself is 18 seconds.
Stop. I need an emotional support creature here with me. So this article is from Business Insider. And it says, Popeyes is launching emotional support chicken for stressed travelers craving fried chicken. Popeyes is launching emotional support chicken for stressed out travelers this holiday season. On Tuesday, the chicken chain announced that it is selling 3-piece chicken tender meals packaged in emotional support chicken carriers at Philadelphia International Airport. The special chicken will be available as supplies last, starting on Tuesday at the Popeyes location in Terminal C. It's pretty fantastic. And the picture, which hopefully we'll post with the podcast for anyone who wants to see it, who hasn't seen it already, it's like a box, like you would get fries in or takeout food in, except it looks like a chicken and it says emotional support chicken. And someone has it on their tray.
It has a vest.
Yeah, it has a vest like an emotional support animal.
This brings up the bigger issue. What is more of a problem? Bringing on fake service animals to a flight or somebody who brings fried chicken on a plane? I'm all for fun stuff and jokes, but this is a serious issue. And I'm a fan of fried chicken and Popeyes above everything else.
But someone else eating it beside you, you might not
somebody
be a
fan. Somebody else bringing
of.
A fried chicken on a plane, that's you've got bigger life issues.
I think it's adorable.
We need to talk.
I like it.
Yeah, I partially like, I don't...
I don't feel like they're making fun.
I think they're making fun of the people who are doing it. It's also fake. Right.
See, I don't think they are. I really think it's like, I just think it's funny. I think someone thought it was funny. I don't think they're poking as much fun as we think they are. Because they might not have done it if they knew how much fun people could take it as poking at,
Please don't bring fried chicken on a plane. Please bring non-heated foods on planes. That's the rule, right? Really? Talking about planes? Is it just not heated up food? It's like the people who make something in the office lunchroom. You don't microwave fish. You don't make popcorn. And you don't break fried chicken.
I've never seen anyone bring hot food on a plane.
Oh, I have.
Really?
Oh, sweet mama.
Like their whole meal?
Yeah, that's going to be my next video. Hey, guys. So today
Stop.
In the...
that voice.
The foods you can bring on an airplane
Seriously,
that won't bother somebody.
I'm going to lower your tone right now because I want you to tell this story right here.
Last flight I was on, somebody brought a burrito.
No, they didn't.
Burrito.
Hot.
Business class.
Someone in business class sat and ate a warm, fresh burrito.
Business class bean burrito.
Oh my gosh. That's
Large.
Terrible.
BCBB. Yeah. How do you do that? Look, I get it. Look, airline foods, I understand it. They're not that great, especially for those that sit in economy. I don't know what it's like, but I know you have foods back there, and this is really slim pickings. And even the business class food, nothing to write home about.
Why do you want to eat a bean burrito on a plane?
Thank you. There's multiple layers to that.
There's a lot of layers to what's wrong with this entire situation.
A month ago, somebody brought soup.
But it's bumpy. You don't eat.
That's what I mean. That's just a safety issue, not let alone an odor issue.
Where did they find a microwave? Like, how do they have soup? No,
they ordered it from one of the food courts in the airport and then just brought it on as their part of their carry-on. Like, I mean one of those, like a faux bowl of soup, like them big ones.
You know, it's, I feel
like
bad little... bringing the coffee on. I didn't know this was a thing that people brought meals on the plane.
I don't feel bad about that at all. Plus, I bring fireworks.
Fireworks, use no problem with.
Yeah, but Delta just announced they banned emotional support out of certain service animals under a certain age. On long haul flights, overseas and stuff too.
Yeah.
So, and but can we reiterate again our disdain for people having fake service animals on planes, and that an animal that makes you feel better about flying is not an actual service animal. That service animals are actually trained and gone through a huge amount of training that are actually official and everything else. Anyways, I'm not going to get on that again. So I will get on something that is greatly upsetting today. We had a friend of the show send us a private message with an ad, a full-page ad in National Geographic for the UN sneaker. Now, I don't claim to own UN. We don't have any rights to it. We don't trademark UN marketing, UN selling, UN branding, and all the UN things we've done. And every time an UN thing comes up, somebody sends it to us. When T-Mobile came out with their UN carrier, we got a lot of messages about it. And it's funny. And we just find it funny. And they're like, hey, they owe you royalties. And we laugh at it. And we have a good time around here.
We have fun.
And then this ad, though, is for the UN sneaker. And it's a shoe from Samuel Hubbard, the company, samuelhubbard.com. But not only is it the UN sneaker... And we'll put this picture up in the show notes for you. It's the UN sneaker in the same font as we use in UN marketing, with the same color scheme as UN marketing as well.
When I first saw it, I thought you were like, I thought you'd made it.
Yeah.
Like
same
it was a
orange,
joke.
Same exact tone of orange, same exact, you know, if you just see it, Wayne. I'm going to show it to Wayne. You got to have the ears reaction, everybody. Allison, you can vent for a second.
What do you want me to do?
Come on.
Same exact color,
right?
Same exact font, right? It's just.
Wayne said, come on.
Right? Yeah. It's like Wayne the Creator said, like, no way.
Wayne the Creator.
No way possible. And this is the thing. So then what do you do now? Well, nothing. I just posted it on the UN Marketing Facebook page and said, at least send us a free pair of shoes. So, you know, how does this happen? It's just too many coincidences. So what happens is somebody is in the ad agency who was in design. It was like, there you go. There's the idea. The color scheme looks good. Let's use it. Same font, same color, same UN thing. What's the chances of that being coincidence?
Yeah, I thought you had made it. That's how much it looks like our stuff.
Not obviously, we're not doing anything about it except publicly shaming them. But, you know, hey.
Shame.
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 You are like, what's her name in Game of Thrones? What's her
name?
Cersei. Man, she is one bad SOB. Man, she'll kill you. Amazing. Game of Thrones, by the way, everybody dies. Spoiler alert. Everybody dies in the show. Watching that show, and my younger brother Dan was a big fan of it, and I never got into it.
You just had a Game of Thrones trigger. Like, you just heard, thought about Game of Thrones, and you've gone on.
And then
off.
He's like, you got to watch it. So finally, Allison and I took like a 4 weekends in a row and watched it in our basement, and you know, lights off and everything. And every episode, I texted him all caps, what? And the only thing he would ever say back is, don't get too attached to anybody.
Yeah.
Everybody dies. Everybody.
Do you want to do your thing? Or you want me to do my thing?
Yeah.
All right. So this is, I mean, it's gotten to the point with this stuff, with the fake Instagram stuff, that now I just laugh at it. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fake apartments, like that you rented and they have all the perfect lighting and you can go in and take your just woke up like this photo, like in the fake bed in the fake apartment.
And then the Instagram recently deleted, everybody have fake followers and fake likes.
Yeah.
Like, so a lot of stuff's happening. Yeah.
So this is from... actually, I don't see where it's from. Yes, I do. The Atlantic. Yeah. And it says, rising Instagram stars are posting fake sponsored content. Wow. Okay. Tapping through Palak Joshi's Instagram stories recently, you might have come across a photo that looked like standard sponsored content. A shiny white box emblazoned with a red logo for the Chinese phone manufacturer OnePlus and the number 6, shot from above on a concrete background. It featured the branded hashtag tied to the phone's launch. One tagged OnePlus Instagram handle. And it looks similar to posts from the company itself, announcing the launch of its new Android phone. However, this was not an ad. It looks sponsored, but it's not, she said, so that they asked Joshi about it. Her followers are none the wiser. They just assume everything is sponsored when it really isn't. And that's exactly the way she wants it. So why would someone do this? What is this? So you're going to post. So instead of posting a picture with me with my coffee and like making some comment about coffee, I'm going to hashtag it and make it look like I'm being sponsored by Tassimo or whatever.
There's two plays. Yeah, it's ego. And then it's hopes to seeing if brands think you're sponsored.
They might want to sponsor.
It's already shown somebody thinks you're worth it. It's social proof from a corporate side of things. So then, hey, we should look at this person too.
But isn't it so funny that we've been spending years telling people on Instagram, if you have sponsored content, you have to market. And now
we have to disclose it.
Getting so mad because people aren't, they want the value of not being sponsored. And now other people are pretending to have sponsored when it's not sponsored.
Amazing. It's the total flip side of it, right?
But they're both doing it to get more followers. It doesn't make sense.
We talked about this about a year ago about the fashion company said, you know, the reason why we don't make our influencers tag it as sponsored is because it's not as effective. Yeah, exactly. And now it's the opposite, right? We're pretending it's sponsored. And it's, again, it's ego, right? It's about ego and it's about make me look, it's like calling your book a bestseller when nobody's called it that. It's ego. It's what we want to do. And then our friends look and go, oh, you got sponsored. And now you think you're more important than you actually are.
It's just really interesting. Like, yeah. They're talking a little bit later in the article. They talk about the FTC and like all the rules about paid advertisements. They have to be disclosed. But there's absolutely no rules against pretending you're advertising something.
Right. Yeah.
Because they would never, because they would have never dreamed that somebody would do that. Yeah. It's just so weird.
They're going through the law book. There's nothing in here about.
But we teach
disclosing about something that didn't happen.
We teach authenticity, right? Yeah. The whole thing that we've been saying is like, you know, be authentic, be yourself, share stuff you really like, and then the problem comes when you start sharing things you don't really like, but someone paid you. And this is like, just skip the authenticity and go right to pretending you're getting paid.
I don't even know if authenticity exists anymore. It's just, I'm just dying a slow death in my heart.
I'm going to start marking all my pictures like sponsored by Oprah or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly.
Sponsored
right?
by something like whatever.
As ridiculous as you can get. Like, as far
over the
reaching.
Top.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping on lines of Instagram. This is from trustinsights.ai from Christopher Penn, who's always great content from him. It says Instagram engagement rates drop. This week as a result of the API change. So he says, using our in-house analytics software, we examine the likes, comments, and account sizes of the top 500 most followed accounts on Instagram over the last 3 months to see how the December 11th API changes is impacting the most popular accounts. This is when they, so it says, for those who don't follow the Instagram and Facebook developer blogs, on December 11th, Instagram updated its API to remove the ability for bots to auto-like content, auto-comment on content, auto-follow hashtags, auto-follow pretty much anything. So what does it look like? There's a giant decline here. So I'm looking
at... That's how much was automated.
Yeah. So right? you look at this, the average of these ones was just under 200,000 engagements. So that's likes and comments on a post.
Okay.
And then when this change happened, it went to 90,000.
Wow. That is huge.
On average. And then average engagement rate of followers, like so overall is like the average is about... And this is the top account. So it was about 1%.
Wow.
Which makes sense. Okay, 1% after the change, 0.52. So it halved the amount of engagement
That's incredible.
The elimination of bots' ability to easily hijack hashtags and harvest content is a net positive, but it will be interesting to watch which influencers have real communities and which were astroturfing, which is using automation to artificially boost their presence. So there's a lot more bots than we actually thought on this stuff. So the problem is we all pay for that. Like we all pay one way or the other for people using automation and bots to artificially inflate, because then it artificially inflates ad rates or sponsorship rates. And then your return is so ridiculously low
compared to what it would be if it was real.
Right. It's double.
Yeah.
Right. You'd have, if somebody says I have 1 million followers versus 2 million followers.
Yeah.
And then you would double the click through rate. You would double the actual ability, because it's not a good litmus. The problem is publicizing that data, that when follower accounts mean so much, when Twitter follows, when Instagram follows, that number is everything.
Yeah.
And the engagement rate isn't. But that's always been like that. There has been this resurgence recently about what happens if we made follower accounts on Twitter not public, right? Like if you go to a Facebook page, you don't, it's not exactly just screaming at you how many fans they have. But Instagram and Twitter run off. That's the headline. That's the top line item there. It's your name and your followers and who you and how many you follow. And that drives everything. And until we change that, until we stop making it a popularity contest, because there's no use for those numbers to be public. Can you think of one actual good use of that number being public? No. But you look at it, right? Don't we all look at those accounts and say, is this person legit? And if they have 100,000 followers or a million, you're like, oh, this person's legit. Until those vanity metrics don't drive our decisions, that's going to be the problem forever. Whatever drives it is going to make us want to game the system. And how Instagram did this, and we talked about this before, is right. They went in there and simply looked at it and said, have you allowed these third-party bot farms access to your account? If so, you're guilty.
Yeah.
We're removing all of those from your account. So it's a big drop. And it's an effective way versus what happened last year where a third-party site came out and said, search accounts to see who has fake followers. That's a shaming side of things. And we are pros at that ourselves. But Instagram, the source.
The shaming, not the fake followers.
No, the source. But even I had, 5% fake followers or whatever it was going to be. The source taking care of it. So Instagram saying no more. That's where we fix the problem. Stopping allowing that API to allow these bots to go in there. And there's certainly a use for opening up your API and allowing outside sites to do things. It's incredible, the ecosystem you create. However, this vanity-driven industry we've got, what would happen if we remove those follower accounts? I'd like to see it. I think it would be more authentic, back to that word, that is hurting me as the farther we go on in life. Speaking of the communities, this is from The Verge. YouTube Rewind hides its community's biggest moments to appease advertisers. So I don't know if you are part of the YouTube crew, the club.
This week's
video is going to be about YouTube Rewind.
What is the Rewind thing?
So YouTube usually every year comes out with a Rewind, a video about the highlights of the year.
One video.
On YouTube. Yeah, it's a collection of, it's an anthology. It's a collection of what happened on YouTube this year.
Yeah.
And so you go through it and your biggest stars would be in it. And they'd usually either show a video of the original video or they'd have the star of that video in the Rewind saying, hey, everybody.
That's cool.
A little cool thing. And this year, let's just say it didn't go the way YouTube hoped.
Okay.
So this is more of a video of, it starts with Will Smith talking about something and Will Smith, it's like, although videos are driven by stars, YouTube's about its creators. It's supposed to be about its creators. And they just feature, it was like showing advertisers what YouTube could do.
Okay.
It wasn't for the community. It was for the advertiser. Let me read the article for a second.
They made like a marketing video instead of making like a community
video. So it says YouTube's most impactful moments of 2018 differ depending on who you ask. Most creators would probably point to Logan Paul's controversy surrounding his time in Japan's Aokigahara Forest, a multi-dollar boxing match between some of YouTube's most prolific individuals, and the seemingly never-ending battle between PewDiePie and Bollywood production company T-Series. There were also multiple breakups between adored YouTubers, the rise of Johnny Yes Papa as a phenomenon. Who is that? Do you know who that is? Not even our millennial correspondent knows who that is. And Shane Dawson ruling the digital space by reimagining what YouTubers could create. None of these moments appear in YouTube Rewind, the streaming service's year-end wrap-up video, but that isn't too surprising. YouTube Rewind is an annual look back at the trends, creators, and moments that YouTube executives and employees consider the most noteworthy. It's a presentation of what makes YouTube unique, specifically designed to market its creators to advertisers in the hopes of securing large deals. The lack of these moments reiterates the divide between how the platform wants to be seen and how the actual culture that creators participate in. This year, those people include actors like Will Smith and comedians like John Oliver. It includes mainstream stars like Fortnite's Ninja and some of YouTube's most notable creators who have worked in traditional Hollywood, Casey Neistat, Lily Singh, and Liza Koshy. These creators are beloved and influential, but most importantly, they're not controversial. They work with big brands and big celebrities, and they represent the switch to a digital MTV that YouTube is trying to become. The message from YouTube to marketers was clear. These are the people you want to invest time to watch and whose videos you should run ads on. Jake and Logan Paul don't appear in this year's Rewind. Neither does KSI, PewDiePie, David Dobrik, Shane Dawson, Erica Castell. Some of the most talked about YouTube creators this year are also absent. It's unclear who was asked and who wasn't, but their absences are some of the biggest questions fans have after watching the video. So, the postscript to this, it is now officially the most disliked video in the history of YouTube.
Yeah. Is this the one you were talking about the other day that had like so many dislikes?
Yeah.
How
it
many?
It is now past Justin Bieber's, I believe, baby. For the
in
most
dislikes.
In dislikes of a video of all time.
Was Justin Bieber number one before?
Yes, by a long shot.
I didn't know that. Why?
Because it's Justin Bieber.
But so much hate.
Yes.
That's a lot of hate. Like, there's a lot of crappy videos on YouTube. I have a hard time believing that was the worst video.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it. It is now.
Yes.
13 million dislikes.
That's incredible. Oh my gosh.
It is far surpassed Justin Bieber.
That's incredible.
But it turned into the thing to do. Like Reddit came out.
Yeah, go dislike
like,
it.
Go dislike it. Go do it. And it's like the community. But again, YouTube doesn't care.
No. And there's a certain kind of infamy in
and
being the most dislike
video. And most people from the
corporate
world is not looking at. Yeah. You dislike it or like it, you're still watching it.
Exactly.
It's got 150 million views. Probably one of the most viewed rewinds there is. Checkmate, right, from YouTube. That's the problem. That is the exact problem. So between that video, was did I say 14 million dislikes?
Yes, you did.
So between YouTube and us, we have 14 million and 100 dislikes between our videos. So combined, we are the most disliked duo, I think, ever. That's it.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good show.
We have a lack of made-up words right now, so if you have one yourself and the made-up word...
We haven't asked for one in a really long time,
so, how about you
so that might
some,
be why.
If you find a word, it looks like it's like made-up, a couple words combined, whatever that is, and you're like, what? What is that? Like broetry is a good one, by the way, which is the LinkedIn posting of people that looks kind of like poetry from bros. It works really well. That's a made-up word, folks. You see one
there
of
you
those...
Go. Broetry.
You see one of those and it makes your nose kind of crinkle up, send it to us. If we use your made-up word of the week on the show, we'll send you any one of our books you want. You just let us know after you hear it. That's all for me. I'm Allison. She's Scott. Talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.